Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll begin our study for some of the verses of Quran chapter 4. Once again, we're not doing a commentary about every verse in the Quran, but we're simply picking up some specific verses which I would like to catch your attention to some facts given to us by Muslim scholars concerning these verses. The first verse I would like to talk about is Quran chapter 4 and verse 3. And the verse states the following: "And if you fear that you cannot deal fairly among the orphans, so have sex," he meant marry, "what appeals to you from the women? 2 and 3 and 4. So if you fear that you cannot treat them equally, so one," he meant one wife, "or have sex with what your right hand possesses." These are the concubines and the slaves. We continue, "This is near to you that you may not have hardship." Allah makes it so easy for Muslims concerning their needs for sexual relationships. And he gives Muhammad the noble example, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, the prophet of Allah, to help them to see how they should live their sexuality. Now, when we read verse 3, we realize that something is missing. Because the verse starts, "And if you fear that you cannot deal fairly among the orphans." Well, that sentence, "if you fear," must have a previous sentence which will guide the Muslim believer, the Muslim reader to the Quran, to move on to that second portion of the teaching. Well, guess what? Ja'far as-Sadiq, one of the great Muslim scholars, stated that he asked about that verse. What is missing before that verse? And the answer was shocking to me, and I hope that this will alert some of our dear Muslim listeners, that it was said that between this verse, that's Quran chapter 4 and verse 3, and the previous verses, a camel load of verses of the Quran had been lost. Did you hear what I said, my dear friends? Before chapter 4, verse 3, there were plenty of verses. When Muslim scholars say a camel load, that means lots of verses were gone from Quran chapter 4. That's why when you read chapter 4, verse 3, you know that there's something missing. It's like you are watching a movie, and when you start the movie, there was maybe a big portion is missing from the movie. The something is not there. Where is that? Now we know from Ja'far as-Sadiq that just in Quran chapter 4, the Quran lost plenty of verses before verse 3. Now as for the interpretation to that verse, because that is one of the strange verses which I struggle with myself. Because notice here, it says, "If you fear that you cannot deal fairly among the orphans." Who are the orphans? These are the little girls who lost their mom and dad. They have nobody to take care of them. But then Allah said, "If you fear that you cannot deal fairly among these orphans, then marry." Wait a minute. What does Allah mean by "if you do not feel that you deal fairly among the orphans"? Were Muslim believers supposed to be involved sexually with the orphans? It seems to me that is a problem. Because why does Allah tie that phrase to the rest of Quran chapter 4 verse 3, where he talks about having sexual relationship with other women? Now let's look at some of the opinions of Muslim scholars like Ar-Razi, who first stated that that verse is not talking about slaves. That verse is talking about the free Muslim women whom Muslim men would like to be involved with sexually, meaning in marriage. And the proof of that is very simple. As you continue to read the rest of the verse, and it said, "So if you fear that you will not treat them equally," these are the free Muslim women whom Muslims will have as wives, "then Allah stated, so one, just one Muslim free woman as a wife. And then he continued, or mean here is the other option. What is the other option? Have sex, and that is not marriage because it's unlimited number. Have sex with what your right hand possesses. What your right hand possesses, that is all the concubines and the slaves, which is an unlimited number. So if the verse Quran 4:3 is talking about marriage to free or slave Muslim women, why did Allah put in the same verse, or have sex with what your right hand possess? Now let's talk about the number of the free Muslim women which a Muslim man can take as wives. The Quran added the word wa, which is in the English language, and that is you add what is before to what come after. So when I read that verse from the Quran, it will read as follows. So have sex, once again he meant marry, what appeals to you from the women, 2 and 3 and 4. Let us do a simple math. 2 and 3, that is 5, and 4, that is 9. That's why some of the scholars of Islam said that's why Muhammad had 9 wives. 2 plus 3 plus 4. What about the statement that the Quran is very clear, as Muslims always say in the West, you have to treat them all the same. Because listen to what Allah said in the Quran. So if you fear that you cannot treat them equally, and since it is impossible for Muslim men or any man to treat all his wives equally, therefore Allah made it clear, then you can only have one wife. So in Islam, you can have more than one wife if you are able to treat them the same way. Well, trust me. First of all, Muhammad the noble example did not treat all his wives the same. And once again, I say he is the noble example by Allah's words in the Quran. He is the noblest example for every Muslim to follow. Why do I say that Muhammad did not treat his 9 wives the same? It's very simple, because in reality, he did not treat Sauda bint Zim'ah like he treated Aisha, the daughter of Abi Bakr. Sauda bint Zim'ah is the woman whom Muhammad married after the death of his first wife, Khadija, and he married her for one purpose and one purpose only, which is to raise the little wife, the child wife, Aisha, who was 6 years old when Muhammad married her. Well, 3 years later, the little wife, the child wife, became mature. Now she is 9 years old. And that's when Muhammad was able to be involved with her sexually, meaning have intercourse relationship with her. Because before that, he did not. He was doing other things, but he did not have full sexual relationship with her. At that time, Muhammad decided to divorce Sauda bint Zim'ah, the servant wives who took care of his beloved wife, his favorite wife, Aisha. She begged him, oh, Apostle of Allah, I beg you, do not divorce me. I do not have any desire like other women. She meant sexual desires. I will give my night to your favorite wife, Aisha. And that was the deal between Muhammad and Sauda bin Zim'ah. So now Muhammad had 9 wives. One he is not involved with at all, that is Sauda bin Zim'ah. And the other 8, he is involved with them sexually. Now, for Aisha, he have double time, which is her normal night and the night which was given to her by Sauda bint Zim'ah. So now there's a question. Did Muhammad treat all his wives equally? The answer is absolutely not. Muhammad was a noble example for all Muslims. Yes, indeed. Therefore, we come to the conclusion, you do not have to treat all your wives the same to follow the sunnah, the way of life of the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad. But I can make it much easier than that. Trust me, any Muslim wise man can have the 4 wives or the 9 wives and treat them all the same. By doing what? By giving them nothing. You see, Muslim women in the West will tell you, oh, if you bought one of them one car, you have to buy each and every one of the other wives a car, same car. If you buy one of them a dress, you have to buy each and every of the other wives the same dress. And whatever you spend on one, you have to spend on the others. And I say, we can make it much easier. Spend nothing on any of them. And they are 100% treated equally. And that is the answer for the phrase of Allah, and if he cannot treat them equally. So only have one wife.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's move on to another verse, that is Quran chapter 4 and verse 24, where we see a controversy between the Shiite and the Sunni in the practice of such verse. For in Quran chapter 4 verse 24 we read, and married women are also forbidden, except all that your right hand possesses. This is the decree of Allah for you. And it is lawful to you besides this to seek out women with your money, chaste, without fornication. So whatever you enjoy by it, and it here is their sexual parts. From them, these are the females who Muslims are involved with sexually. So give them their wages. It is an ordinance, and there will be no sin on you about what you have mutually agreed on. After the ordinance, surely Allah was knowing wise. There are two different readings for that verse, which is the opposite of what Muslims always tell us about the Quran. They always say the Quran is only one. It's pure. It's in the Arabic language. No one add a word. No one can take a word from the Quran. It is one all over the Muslim world. When in reality, now we know, there are thousands and thousands of words are written different between one Arabic Quran and another Arabic Quran. For example, in that verse here, Quran 4:24, we read, so whatever you enjoy by it from them, so give them their wages. According to Sa'id ibn Jabir, he said that that reading, which is the reading of Abi ibn Ka'b, that is written in a book is known as Al-Masahif to Sajistani, the chapter of Mus'haf Abi. And Abi is one of the four men which Muhammad asked the Muslims to take their Quran from. And that is according to the writing of Al-Bukhari in the chapter of the gathering of the Quran. Sa'id ibn Jarir read that verse to say, so whatever you enjoy, buy it from them for a specified time. So give them their wages, meaning this is not the usual or normal marriage, but that is a marriage for fun. That is the temporary marriage according to the Shiite Muslims. That is how Muslim Shiite allow their men to be involved with women sexually for a limited time for a price, which is known in the West to be prostitution. But Muslim Sunni will tell you, no, we do not allow this marriage because Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, forbid it after he allowed it three times before that. Now, the beginning of that verse itself is a problem. Why? Because he started and married women. and we added between brackets, are also forbidden. And you cannot understand that without reading the previous verse. That is Quran chapter 4 and verse 23. For in verse 23 we read, forbidden to you are your mothers and your daughters and your sisters and your paternal aunts and your maternal aunts and the mothers who nursed you, which are known to be the mothers of the breastfeeding. Big problem for Muslims, especially in the last 20 years or so, where we began to look at these verses and expose these facts about Islam. See, in Islam, a man cannot be married to another young lady if they were both breastfed by the same mother when they were little babies. You see, in the Middle East, in Muhammad days and even until today, sometimes if a mother is sick or if she have to travel for emergency and she leaves her child with the neighbor who just happened to be a mother of a baby herself, if that woman breastfeeds her neighbor's baby, because in such days they did not have baby formula or bottled milk, so it was normal for women to do that to help their neighbors. And if the mother breastfeeds the neighbor's child 10 times, later Muhammad changed to 5 times. In that case, according to the teaching of Muhammad, these two children become brother and sister in the feeding. And that is a strange concept of what is lawful, what is not lawful in Islam. So imagine, just because a mother breastfeeds a child belonging to the neighbors 5 times, when her son grows up, he could not marry the neighbor's daughter simply because now she became his sister in the breastfeeding. Then we read the rest of the verse, and your sisters in the breastfeeding. That's exactly what I just mentioned. And the mother of your women. So if a man is married to a wife, he cannot marry her mother. And your stepdaughters who are in your laps, born of your women. So if a man is married to a wife and she have a child with another husband, he could not marry that child. So you are not at fault. And also, the wives of your sons who proceeds out of your backbones. So a man cannot marry his daughter-in-law. Notice that Muhammad was able to marry his daughter-in-law, the wife of his adopted son, Zayd. But they will tell you that son Zayd was adopted son. Therefore, it's okay for Muhammad to be married to her. After all, Allah and Muhammad canceled and ended adoption in Islam. Because of that reason that Muhammad fell in love with Zaynab bint Jahsh, whom he desires to be married to. Except what has passed. And here in that verse, we see that Allah gave permission for the Muslim men to continue in a sexual relationship with the wives of their sons, that is their own real sons from their flesh and blood, if it's already done before Allah gave Quran chapter 4 and verse 23. Then Allah said, surely Allah was forgiving, merciful. Then we go to verse 24, which reads, and married women. I added between brackets, are also forbidden, because that is a continuation of the list of the women which Muhammad forbade Muslim men to be involved with sexually. And if you ask why that verse was given to Muhammad, the answer is very simple. Muhammad's men were involved in a battle, and in that battle, they captured some women whose husbands ran away. So now these Muslim believers, the men, have women with them, and they do not want to be involved with them sexually because their husbands are still alive. So they asked Muhammad, what should they do? And Muhammad said, wait until I talk to Jibreel. And he met with Jibreel and talked with Jibreel, and Jibreel gave him the green light or the okay for his men to be involved sexually with these women, even though their husbands are still alive. And that's why Allah said, except what your right hand possess. It is not forbidden. They can be involved with them sexually because, after all, they are their own concubines or slaves. And from that day on, 1450 years ago, Muslim men using this as a license to kidnap women and rape them. That is exactly what happened last October 7, when the Muslims of Hamas across the border of Gaza, and they went inside Israel. What did they do? They kidnapped women. And what did they do to these women? They raped them. Not because they're raping them. No. They were doing the Sunnah of Muhammad. They're practicing the teaching of the Quran. And sadly, not too many news media in the West ever talked about the true reasons why these Muslim men were involved sexually or raping the Jewish ladies they captured. This is a sad story, and it will never stop. As a matter of fact, I believe deep in my heart that this will grow more and more in Europe and here in America when Muslims will have the upper hand. In the Middle East, they kidnap the Christian young ladies and they rape them. And all what they say is very simply, these Christian young ladies fell in love with them or their sons, and they became Muslims and they married to them. In many cases, they will not allow the family to see their daughters, unless maybe 5 or 10 years later, if she was able to escape. And that's when we know the horror of their true story, that they never accepted Islam. They never fall in love with these men whom they are living with, carrying 3, 4, 5 of their children, but they were actually kidnapped and raped by these Muslim men. So, in simple words, if a Muslim man is able to kidnap a female and now she becomes his right-hand possession, then he has the right to be involved with her sexually, even if she is married and her husband is still alive. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.